Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the week. It is time for your Motoring Power Hour. Auto Central, proudly brought to you by autotrader.co.za. Of course, my name is Chad Lukoff, and joined in studio by, a host of lovely people.
Full crowd again.
Of course, to my side, Wilmarie Jansen van Rensburg, SA Speed Queen, at Hi, SA Chad. Speed Queen. How are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, all good, all good.
Isn't it hump day?
What it is hump day.
Yes, halfway there.
Halfway.
Yeah,
can
halfway.
Can you believe it?
It's now the back nine. It's now the downhill slide to the weekend. But that's it. I'm one of those that believes if you sit there and you're like, ooh, it's Friday. Look forward to Friday. Look forward to the weekend. You're in the wrong job. Really? No, so, really. Anybody that hates Mondays doesn't hate Mondays. They hate their job. I look forward to Mondays.
Yeah.
I get to go to work. Cool. I love my job.
You know what? The only reason I enjoy the weekends is because then you feel legit not to answer your phone.
Really?
Yeah, you feel a little more okay when people bug you.
No, then you've got the wrong job. You've still got the wrong job.
True.
No, it is. No, then you've still got the wrong job. I love my job. So any time of the day. Any weekend, whenever. Yeah, we're always
working. So I'll remember that.
In essence, because we love our job, yeah.
Okay, so I'll phone you.
You don't hate Mondays, you hate your job. Plain and simple. Wilmarie Jansen van Rensburg at SA Speed Queen if you're wanting to get in on the conversation. And we're going to encourage you to, because we're going to try and generate and encourage a little bit of conversation here today. Of course, if you're downloading the podcast, sorry to hear, you're just going to have to use the hashtag AutoCentral. And you're going to have to chat with us there, and we'll see if we can chat to you during the week. Otherwise, well, yeah, you're missing out. For those of you that are listening live, try and send the tweets, and then we're going to see if we can get to it. We can't always promise. It is a little bit frantic here. It's only an hour, and we...
A lot of content for today.
A fair amount. And in the beginning, where we sat here, and we're like, how are we going to fill an hour's worth with waffle? Because this is what it is. It's waffle. We sat here and we're like, okay, and we stretched things out. Now we're sitting and we're like, an hour's not long enough. It just isn't long enough.
Yeah, there's too much happening.
We need more time. And I mean, yeah, that's for a year. But introduce the rest of the people that are with us. Got Ty Woods with me.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good.
Good. Yeah. And you joined. I see you got a little shadow today.
Yes, I do.
We've got Marang in studio, yes, and she's sitting here, and she's sitting there with her notebook and her pen, and she's a matric pupil, doing a bit of an intern, correct?
That's right.
Do you call an intern shadow?
Well, it's
that's just rude.
No, there's a bit of job shadowing happening here today. So
okay.
She had a terrible day yesterday in finance.
But, did she? You were in finance yesterday? Sorry to hear about that. My sympathies.
Obviously today she's experienced the wonderful creative world of marketing and advertising. So it's been a
You're balancing it out for her.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you've got to have the good with the bad. So
Well, she's not in front of a mic. We'll maybe rope her in just now.
No, we'll get her in just now. We've got some...
But just even a nod or something. Are you preferring marketing to finance? Oh, the eyes just lit up. Like, oh, yes.
Big yes.
Okay, understood. And of course, I'm also joined by my co-content producer, Lawrence Mini. Lawrence,
how do you do? I'm a little bit achy and painy from
yesterday's events. Yeah, we did our karting thing, endurance karting again last night. So
and two of our team members didn't pitch up, so we ended up doing the full 2 hours.
More rounds.
Yeah.
Just the
See,
two
I
of
just
us.
Don't get karting. It does nothing
You're
for me.
You're dead to me. I'm going to kill your microphone right here like that.
You actually did.
I did, yeah, I did.
No, I don't get it. It's too close to the ground.
That's the fun.
Yeah, I think that's
tiny,
the fun.
It's uncomfortable, it's bloody hard on your back and your
butt. Yeah, like a fork falcon.
Well, you know, not for me.
No, the sensation.
So don't invite me for
the sensation of speed is amplified. And come on, you know this from bikes. The lower you are on the bike, the greater the sensation of speed. You're closer to the ground. So when you've got a knee down and you're busy dragging, doing 40 k's an hour through that corner feels like you're doing 120 upright.
But that's why karting is so bloody slow for me.
Well,
is it not
low enough?
No, it doesn't compete to the bike speed at all.
Karting, okay, I can understand that.
With the endurance karting that we do, it's a lot more involved with pit stops and
but a race strategy.
And cataflams.
Yes. Well, that comes afterwards. That comes afterwards.
Yeah. No, look, there is strategy involved, and there is, okay, well, this guy's faster, and that we can see who the next team's going to be putting in. Okay, we're going to put our fast guy in now so that they can go and have a bit of a fight. I mean, we came fourth.
Yeah.
Sadly.
That's terrible, though.
Yeah, it was. I wouldn't have said that.
Last month, we came second.
Yeah, so it's just how it pans out. And it's
endurance karting. And anything could happen. We're two
cars. I need to ask how many teams.
Six teams. Yeah. And then...
But it was very interesting because there was one cart that had a cable snap, and then, well, that same team had a steering wheel come off.
In their hands while they were...
That was quite amusing.
Yes, it was very funny.
I messed up that lap because I was too busy watching them and laughing in my helmet. I was canning myself in the helmet. I'm like, these guys are walking around and they're just holding the steering wheel in their hand. They're like, what am I supposed to do with this? It's parked up against the tires now. It was amazing.
It was a bit strange, you know, doing that and having come off of the... the launch last week, the Pajeros.
Yes. There's been a bit of...
taking the win on the Friday, which actually brings us to the gentleman sitting to my right.
I know, I want to ask him, so you need to introduce him, because I want to ask if he would do that with me, by the way. But you want to...
Do what?
Dead silence.
Dead silence.
Karting. Would you do it?
Karting, yes, lie on the ground. Absolutely.
There we go.
Yeah, but is there other karts available?
Yeah, there's plenty.
Come
well, we'd like to introduce Blackie Swart joining us as well. Hi, Blackie. How are you doing?
All right, and you, man?
All good. Blackie's from Talk the Talk, who, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, your company specializes in fleet management, vehicle launches, and advanced driving, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And it's not Talk the Talk, it's Talk.
Torque. Engine
the
Torque.
Yeah, you know.
Listeners need to... I love that name. I think it's unique. It's exactly what you do. It says everything and so much more. So, yeah. Just saying.
Yeah, no. I'm just sitting here. The scientific mind is going and saying, how can you apply a rotational force to what is essentially vocabulary? But in any case.
I'm going to slap you now.
It's a fantastic play on words. No, I do. We love it. We love it. And thanks for joining us. Absolutely cool.
Thank
fantastic.
Thank you very much. Pleasure being
here. And as Lawrence alluded to, I mean, we sat and we actually experienced one of your launches now recently, which was the Mitsubishi Pajero Legend 2.
Yes, that's right.
The short wheelbase. Well, we were sampling the short wheelbase, but the Legend 2 is available now in the short wheelbase and the long wheelbase.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit more about that car and what was involved in the launch?
I mean, as you know, Pajero has been around for a very long time. Yeah. So the big thing was to try and create a launch that gives you guys, journalists, you know, something else to write about, except for, you know, it's Pajero. It still is, still has the same motor.
Yeah.
But, you know, they added a whole bunch of extras to the vehicle. Mm. Which is at no cost, of course, to the customer.
Yeah.
So a lot of those extras, Mitsubishi just say, you know what, we still love the product. The product is still amazing. And, you know, so we had to try and come up with some idea to be able to launch this
from
car.
From a marketing point of view as well.
Yeah, marketing point of view, and gives you guys something to write about. So trying to create some concept where you guys go head-to-head all publications against each other, see who's the best 4x4 experts, drivers, navigators, and... You know, see who's the winner at the end of the day. But it was a very, very tough 4x4 course. I mean, you can follow the other ones, Bridgestone 4x4 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're also very tough, but we just went completely...
So would you say...
You can say it.
Extreme.
Balls to the wall.
This is uncensored radio. And while we're still a fairly family show, this is an open-minded family.
Yes. And there's a young lady in studio. So
We'll keep it tidy. I must say, it was probably one of the... more enjoyable launches that I've attended. I haven't attended too many, but you know that I really have. I've really enjoyed it. It was held out at the Rhino Park, which is out your neck of the woods. Cullinan Bronco Sprait.
Yeah, R515.
Yeah,
towards Cullinan.
Out towards Cullinan and that. Mm. And what I really enjoyed about it was that we got a chance to really put the vehicle through its paces. Mm. And I received the vehicle yesterday now for our review. So we're going to be shooting a video on it tomorrow. And straight away, climbing back into it, it was almost like this old friend sort of vibe to it. Mm-hmm. I climbed into it and I was comfortable with the vehicle and I was well associated with the vehicle.
Well familiarized
with the vehicle. And it felt like, wow, it did wonders for elevating the vehicle in the eyes of the journalists. Because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. There's that sense of now, hey, we've been through something tough together and we're sort of family and I know what you're capable of and, you know, we're going to be good together. And, it really changes the perception. I'm not saying it's a bad vehicle that needs its perception changed.
Yeah.
But it was just really the launch did wonders for the way that we perceive it. And actually, there's a bit of a throw-on effect when it comes to us producing and writing our content.
Yeah.
But you know what? And this is why, I mean, Blackie, how long have we known each other for? I was trying to work it out the other day. I can't remember. But I mean, you've got your work cut out for you.
Yeah.
On so many different levels, because you not only manage, I mean, you manage, please add, Mitsubishi, Renault, you said...
Honda, Photon, Mahindra, Chery, Tata.
So, okay, so, and for all of those brands, you've got to help do what Chad now said is necessary for journalists to buy into it, you know, to sell the product for you, to go and talk about it positively. Mm. That's a big job on its own. Now, you... I want to know, how do you choose journalists? Do you choose journalists? What are your risks involved?
The choice of the journalists usually comes from the manufacturer itself, because they got to look at the ABCs, the amount of people that actually read, go onto their websites, buy the newspapers, watch the shows on TV, etc. Because the thing is, they put a lot of money into their launches, so they need to be able to reap the rewards out of that. So they've got to know that the AVE that they get back is, you know, more or less on par to what they had to expend on the launch. Because you can just look, trying to accommodate airlines, all those types of things, the money just starts adding up. So, and they also got to work to a budget, you know, especially
meaning flying the journalists in and out.
Flying the journalists to different
accommodation,
venues,
those kind of things.
All of those things. So, which is a lot of times, you know, trying to do a fairly budgeted launch, most of the time you've got to do it in either Joburg or Cape Town, because that's where most of the publications are. So you got your 50-50 there. You're going to fly a couple of guys from Joburg to Cape Town, or a couple of manufacturers from Cape Town to Joburg. But
so are we allowed to ask kind of roundabout ballpark figure, what does a launch cost the manufacturer?
You know, from their point of view, what they put into advertising, their printing, their all those sort of things, that part I don't know.
And the gifts and all that, yeah.
Although gifts, a lot of manufacturers try to stick to a specific budget of the gifts. I mean, I remember starting off with launches. Wow, the gifts were fantastic.
The journalists are spoiled. This,
yeah, no, they were.
And now it's a cap
spoiled.
Only.
Yeah. I mean, not all the manufacturers, I'm sure, stick to the cap, but they just try to make it realistic. Because they know that a lot of times now they can't literally buy the guy anymore, you know. So
the product's got to sell itself.
The product's got to sell itself. They can give a nice gift with a hope of getting a nice article, but that could backfire.
So, okay, I mean, so why spend that money?
Why spend the money?
Yeah. And I must say, coming from a journalist's point of view, experiencing a launch the way that we did with the Pajero, I found that way more beneficial than sitting there and, you know, making sure that I've got a fancy dinner and, you know, a lavish gift or something of the sort. No, give me a chance to experience the vehicle the way that, you know, you want your customers to experience it, the way that you're promoting it. That, for me, just ties in better. And I've attended one or two where they've gone out there and said, well, here's the vehicle, here's the track, we've booked the track, we're actually going to time you. Here's a little bit of on-car telemetry and that. Go out and put the car through its paces. And they were, I mean, very bold and very brave.
Yeah.
They sat without, they didn't have any damages or anything of the sorts, but the guys came away with a newfound respect for the vehicle that they possibly ordinarily wouldn't have had. And and I really do like that approach. You know, we want to drive the car. We're there to find out about the car. It's less about the song and dance. It's about the vehicle, and that's what we're there to do. It's business after all.
Yeah.
I need to ask you this, though. I mean, we all know that journalists are not all racers or ex-racers. Okay, so...
We think we are.
They think they are.
We think we are.
This is me nodding my head side to side.
So, there comes your risk, I'm sure, because now you have I know, but then they can't. How do you choose your journalists that are not going to mess up your vehicles? Crash it, roll it, do whatever. I mean, is there a limit? And do they do things where you say, don't ever come back again? Or, you know what I mean?
You know, the word accident speaks for itself. It is an accident. But when it comes to especially launching performance cars, there's going to be serious control from our side.
Mm.
So we don't want to be the company that says, you know what, the vehicle is damaged at that launch, at that launch, at that launch, and we were in charge of it. So especially with performance cars and just letting them go, we know which journalists can really hold their own onto the track. They've had many years of experience. They've done so many advanced driver training courses. They've done so many training via international or national side.
So you're more selective then?
We are selective, but you still don't want to cut off your consumer that goes and buys a house and woman and home or something like that, for argument's sake, that could possibly advertise the vehicle, or that would actually just maybe want to have some more information on that. But when we do get a journalist from that point of view, then yes, we would hover around them a little bit more, try to actually coach them.
The one.
Yeah. So we will actually take them onto the track and coach them.
That's great.
You know, because a lot of times they're going to get into the track and they're just going to floor it, and they're going to come off and they say, "That's a terrible car." And I'm going to go, "Well, your braking was late, your gearing was terrible, your
selection, no understanding of turning,
no understanding of swerving." You know, there's just nothing. The hand-eye coordination is nowhere near there.
So they blame the car, and actually, it's
not
more
the car's fault. It's just the experience in a performance car. It's just there's none.
So
this sort of leads me onto another aspect of it, because you have to admit, and I'm sure that while the manufacturers would be more the ones to admit, is that the lifestyle publications are doing pretty decent things for brand awareness and association, and creating a style or a
lifestyle around
a
brand.
Around a brand. Yeah, and it's a lifestyle publication, so it's going to be, like you say, your house and home, or a men's glossy magazine type thing. You need to include these guys, and these guys are probably more fashion conscious, and he knows, you know, the whole Rolex catalog inside and out. But when it comes to peddling his way around a track, he's a little short in the trouser.
Yeah, a lot of points from that point of view. It's a fact about not him driving faster, but just what he looks like in the car. They really want to know that this car suits me. So from the lifestyle point of view, then we focus a lot on that. If we get a lot of lifestyle journalists that will be, or publications that will attend the launch, then we'll create our launch concept around
so you gear it around that for them as well. Mm. All right. And, I mean, you do also offer advanced driving. So you guys are on hand.
Yes.
What sort of advanced driving courses are there available?
We run the advanced driver training for Renault South Africa itself, for their sport models. So any person that purchases Renault Sport RS models, they'll get advanced driver training through us. Right now, RS is more or less starting to wither down, because the new Megans will hopefully be coming soon. Mm-hmm. We're not sure, waiting for the dates, etc. But
eagerly,
you know. So a lot of times, I mean, these RS guys, owners, are absolutely mull. They are crazy.
Yeah.
So they would already know before me when the next RS would most probably come to this country.
All its specs, they're proper anoraks about.
They will know everything about their car, whether it's a fork control system. You know, the torque it's going to hit compared to us, compared to Europe, wherever.
Yeah.
So they'll know everything, and they'll already start sending me emails saying, you know what, we want to do the advanced driver training course, so we're going to just do a quick refresher because we know the next one's coming in the next year or whatever. And a lot of guys will literally just keep their cars and not buy an RS until they know that vehicle's coming.
Mm.
And then, because, I mean, performance cars, if you're a parent and you're going to buy your 18-year-old kid a Renault Megane Sport or a Clio Sport, hell, you better get him into an advanced driver training course.
Eh? Yeah, but you're we spoke end up about in the this news. The other day.
Yeah.
I mean, with the new Ford. What was it? Ford Auris.
With the Auris.
With the whole drift option in that.
Yes.
You know, it's going to a market.
The videos have already made their way onto the internet of guys getting it wrong with the so-called drift button.
We were saying they're not offering their training with the vehicle to the youth, the youngsters, the eager ones. But I don't. So if someone buys a Ford. Mm. Are they allowed to come to you with their own
more
vehicles?
They're more than welcome to join us. I mean, Renault's open. Renault's always been huge safety conscious. From their first vehicle that ever came here, that was classified as the safest car. I think it was Laguna still in early 2000. So, and from that point of view, they've always been safety conscious. So they really couldn't care who attends it. Their point of view is they'll still get somebody there, even if he's in a Ford or a VW or whatever it is. He's still going to get an idea of that Renault Megane Sport, and you can always change it from that point of view. He's going to see that vehicle. You're going to get a bum in the seat, and he's going to at some stage want to go over into the trophy that we've got, and he's going to try and take it around the track, and he's just going to realize it's a phenomenal vehicle. Not slating any of the other performance cars, because they're all phenomenal.
No, but it's just
a personal opinion.
It's a bit of marketing by immersion. Get them in the vehicle. You know, we're not going to turn you away. We're going to create a better driver out of you, hopefully, at the end of the day, if you can at least listen to us. And hopefully we've taught you something about the pros and cons of our brand, or at least the pros of our brand.
But I can agree with you. The trophy is an awesome piece of kit. We had the pleasure of driving it last year.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And
amazing.
One of those that
you had the video on.
Yes, it's a two-part video.
The
road trip down to the racetrack, and then the actual racetrack.
Yeah.
Because is the road trip legal?
Yes.
No, it is, absolutely. Because for a while, and the whole premise behind that one, and that was our Renault Megane RS Trophy 275, was The premise behind it was that the Trophy 275 actually held the record around Nürburgring for having the fastest lap for a front-wheel drive vehicle, only until the Honda Civic Type R came out, and that trounced it. And we thought, well, you know, for many people, they do a sort of a pilgrimage through to Nürburgring if they're based in Europe. And they go and they make a whole festival of it. And we thought, okay, well, we could do similar, but we're not going to drive across Africa and into Europe in that. That's a little bit of a mission. But we'll drive across the country. So we ended up at Aldo Scribante and took it around Aldo Scribante's track. And it really showed its true colors at Aldo Scribante, and it was absolutely fantastic there.
And then it was the drive back, and literally you get back from a drive, and yeah, I'm just watching the bees being flicked around the studio. You know, after, you know, you spend 6 hours in the car and you get back to Johannesburg and you get out of the car, and you would think that something with a chassis that is that stiff, you'd end up with a compressed spine or something, and we could have gotten right back in and driven all the way back.
And the sports seats and that. And that was the biggest surprise for me on the drive there and back, was just the comfort of what is supposed to be a full-blown performance vehicle. And I was like, this is absolutely fantastic. And then you get a little spirited and you drive it around the track, and then all of a sudden the whole chassis comes alive and the motor starts to make sense, and the throttle response and the brakes and everything just really comes alive, and it really shows that, wow, this is not a Jekyll and Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, but it's just a such a competent all-rounder and fantastic vehicle to live with.
When the new RS arrives, put my name on top of the list.
I'm sure, yeah.
Siren, have you done the advanced training?
I haven't done advanced training recently, but back in the day, I went on a couple of courses with the likes of Clint Weston and the boys. Yeah.
But it's actually a good thing, would you agree, Blackie, to do annually?
Yeah, definitely.
I think everybody should do it. Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I took it out of that, being a layman and just, you know, thinking you know how to drive, is you actually have no idea the distance that it takes for a car to stop, even when it's doing 60 k's an hour. And when you do that on a track and you see the cones laid out and the distance of those cones, it's mind-blowing. And I think it just puts a different perspective on actually following distances are there for a reason. I mean, I can go mull when Oaks drive up my ass. I really can, because I know what that Oaks going to hit me. If I break now,
He's not going to be able to stop.
So I endorse it 100%.
And also our equipment changes.
Well, exactly.
I mean, and people don't realize that, you know.
Yeah, of course, 15 years ago, no ABS, no airbags.
I can remember doing advanced driver training in 2000, even before that. And we could just literally pull a fuse and you didn't have any ABS, and you can do a full-on day showing people what it's like not having ABS in a car. Now you've got so many features, the ESPs, the traction controls, and you can't disconnect ABS at all. So the advanced driver training completely changes because you can't make the car pathetic anymore.
Yeah. What does it cost to do? I mean, what are the costs associated?
Renault's advanced driver training course is $1,495 per person.
Okay.
Which is fairly cheap. I mean, if you look at the standard cost,
that's actually very
The normal course is 2.5, and Renault still puts in $1,000 from their side to make the course cost effective, because they look at a lot of the consumers, whether it's whether they own a Renault Sandero or a Duster. It's guys that they're not saying can't afford it, but they know that it's very tough at the moment. So
it's a budget. There's a budget decision.
There is a budget decision that has to be made, but it is a very, very important decision, you know.
So only if you buy a Renault do they subsidise the 1,000?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So but otherwise it's the full price. Yeah.
Man off the street, he's going to look at about 2.5 for a course.
Yeah.
And what
for
a course, roughly what would that involve?
I mean, we'll start in the morning with a presentation. We try not to talk too much inside the presentations, because, I mean, I try to make it as exciting as possible, but the guys want to get into the track. But what I usually do is I take my 45-minute presentation, then the guys, Fires and them, go out to them. They actually go and look at the guys coming onto the course, and we go take their tire pressures. So as soon as I get to my slide focusing on tires, Fires comes in, and he's got this list of, he's saying, okay, who's driving this car? We're going, okay, cool. Your front left tire is 1.4 bars. Your right front tire is 3 bar. And he's going, oh, but I just checked it last month.
Yeah.
I'm going, wow.
Yeah.
It's the only contact you have on the road, man. That is the only thing that keeps you on the road.
Yeah.
But yet,
slightly important.
You neglect the most important part of the car. A lot of people say it's the driver, it's the steering wheel. Oh, it's the tires.
The tires, yeah.
Yes.
So the small things, and even you mentioned the braking distance. So many people, when we do that demonstration, because I always do that demonstration, where the cones are, we say, okay, we're going to drive 60 k's an hour, and this guy will hit the brakes at those cones. somebody would measure 1 meter from the cones and they'll stand still and they expect the car to stop. I mean, that's hitting a brick wall.
Yeah.
But they expected 60 k's an hour. You did the...
I've done the
you
test.
You probably saw those people standing a meter away and they expect the car to stop within 1 meter.
Well, when you're in a car and you're doing 60 k's an hour, it doesn't feel like you're going fast.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
And but when you stand outside looking at the car,
100%.
Yeah. It looks even worse. It looks like you're doing 30.
And until you've done something like that, you won't understand the stopping distance. And even more so on bikes, because it takes even longer to stop. Yes. People think it's quicker. Unless you're really super experienced, it can get it takes double the
distance. Is that because
their
reactions are slower or car drives just smarter?
No, you have less.
Ouch!
You have less contact on the tar. Mm.
Less tires,
less friction.
So really you just got to, and plus the bikes generally, it reaches a higher speed a lot quicker. So it has to now slow down a lot quicker as well. So you need to give it more distance. People who just turn in front of bikes and think, no, they'll stop. No, not necessarily.
Yeah.
And they don't understand that. It's a complete misperception of
speed. I mean, look, if you look at a bike, you've got, if you put two fingers together,
that's what you
mean. The only track you've got. That's the traction. And they think, but it weighs 120, 250 kilograms. You look at a BMW GS, 400 kilograms. It's still at 120 kilometers an hour. If you don't have the traction, anything touching the ground, you know, it doesn't. So many accidents. Even when I was before I started doing this, I was a cop and I was investigating a whole bunch of accidents.
You were a cop?
Yes.
I didn't know.
Yes, proudly, Joburg Flying Squad.
There we go.
Squad.
Thank you.
So from that point of view, we investigate a lot of accidents, and people come and say, "Yeah, you know, my ABS failed." I mean, no, it didn't fail. It's because you were airborne.
Yeah.
So it couldn't work.
At the time you hit the brakes, it didn't work. You just confused ABS completely.
Yeah.
And it just started to lock, and the people don't understand.
But is that a problem? Vehicle. Sorry, Jade. Is that a problem with our kind of, you know, your license? You know, you get a learner's license. You go for your driver's license, and you're probably driving your mom's, you know, car, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, you can go out and you can really, if Dad's got all the money in the world, he'll buy whatever, and you jump behind the seats of this fancy car.
It's the biggest problem that we have with bikes is you can do get your learner's license, and you can climb onto a 1200.
Yeah, you know, it should almost be graded, you know, red, blue, and yellow. And
you know, I believe that there should be a considerably different licensing process involved.
It should be an advanced course, bikes, cars.
Absolutely,
and you
take a look at how it works in the European unions and that, and some of your Scandinavian countries. The amount of advanced driver training that you need to go through before you get a license makes sure that you're out there on the road as a competent driver.
Defensive driving course,
correct.
Advanced driving,
skid control, control learning, and I don't think it's so much about. Like a misinformation. I just think there's a lack of education onto what ABS and EBD and all that sort of thing does. And I've seen it. I attended a driving course as well where there was an EBD, and it was the early days of EBD, and it was only the top of the range models that had this. And I saw a woman go off the embankment at Geritech on the straight. Why? Because she thought this was now going to steer for her as well. All you had to do was to drive into basically a...
Was that a journalist?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it was a journalist or a customer. If it was a customer day, I'm trying to think now.
Subaru.
Yeah, it was with Subaru.
Oh,
and there was a
Forester.
It was Outback H6. If we're going to get into details here, Outback H6, and it was back in the day, about two generations back. I'm talking about many years ago.
Thing open, because oh my word.
Well, what you had to do was you had to drive in, and without touching the brakes or anything, you had to steer through basically an obstacle. And it would show how, just during the skid, the EBD and everything would come into effect and would keep the vehicle planted and stop it from spinning out. She steered away from the obstacle and then didn't steer back. And as a result, she just speared off the track, off in a direction. And we're like, well, that's a little, you know.
And I've seen Geritech, and those embankments, there's nothing on the other side.
Exactly. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. And that was like, wow, you know, there's... misinformation when it comes to, and not enough education when it comes to what these systems actually do. And if you do have one of these vehicles that have all these acronyms, ASC and EBD and TCS, and you need to find out what
it
does and how it works in that. And I suppose it's also part of, well,
an advanced driver training course.
An advanced driver training course, but I think it's also the responsibility of both yourselves to impart that knowledge onto us, the journalists, and for us to pass it on to the consumer. So, you know, we're actually sitting here with a large responsibility. We should be the ones that are actually educating. But people, we need you to read as well. Don't just look at pretty pictures, please.
I mean, how much safer would our roads be if everybody went on one of those courses?
Yeah. And we're forced to do a refresher on an annual basis.
But it's almost like, you know, will it ever get to a stage in society where if you haven't done it, it's almost like it'll be, you know, frowned upon?
Yeah.
And if we can get it to that, then...
In an ideal world, yes. Yeah, and then we should have a government that isn't corrupt either.
No, but sure. But listen, it's happening with smoking, you know.
Thanks.
That's right. All right. I like your thinking.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting a little bit about what's happening with Auto Central as a whole.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of big changes on the go. We got the review of the new Mercedes-Benz C-Class Coupe, and then chatting a little bit about what to look forward to. And also, we're going to go through a little bit of a list here, and that's where we're wanting your guys' bit of input. But we'll be back right after this.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. Cliffcentral.com.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. Auto Trader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. Auto Trader New Car. The choice is yours.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, and we're back. Honor Carson's with Whole Heart there. And, well, we're going to get into... Well, Thulmer, you had a couple of questions that you wanted to chat to Blackie about.
I've got to ask you this, Blackie, because we all know you from cars and advanced driving and all these things. How on earth did you get into the bike side? That's with BM, hey?
Yeah, it's got wheels.
It's as simple as that.
It's as simple as that. It's got an engine, it's got wheels. I'm interested. If it's got a caterpillar written on it, I'll try.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. But I mean, is this now a new thing? Are you just adding? Are you planning to do more manufacturers? Because this is something that's been lacking on the bike side for a long time. Is someone like you actually helping managing the launches?
Well, I mean, I've built up huge relationships over all the years. I mean, since 2000, when I launched the first car with a manufacturer, we've built relationships, we've made friends. So, you know, and they always change management. So, you know, they go to different manufacturers and they know me out of experience and what I've done. So I was approached by their fleet department to run a couple of their fleet vehicles to fleet customers, etc. And then I was, you know, the names just passed on. So okay. Edward and Tando called me from BMW and they said, you know, willing to come in, have a meet, see what we can do, and we try to run as professional as possible. You know, we don't ride the bikes to the publications. They put onto a trailer or put in the back of the van. They get delivered. You know, guys know exactly, and especially with bikes, you know, a now bike's got to be 100%.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, there's no room for error. I mean,
and now you got to probably be so much more picky considering your journalist as well.
Yeah,
I mean, who rides that? Who tests that? Etc. And again, that's probably like BM, according to, am I right, what their marketing requirements are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you try and still cover like live streaming, radio, magazines, everything, or does it change a bit?
I mean, they give us a list of their publications that they work with, and we just try to stick to those, you know. And we get a lot of requests. There's so many. I mean, you can look at it. People don't believe me when I say, you know, you've got 80 publications you can focus on motoring journalists, you know, throughout the entire country. Mm. But there's over 350 wannabe journalists out there, and they all want to test a car or a bike. Mm. And we just cannot keep the bike or the car for such a long time.
Mm.
It'll take forever then to be able to test. So, you know, you try to limit it to say that, you know, these are the bigger publications, unfortunately. You know,
this is where my reach
is. This is the reach that we can go. So you can imagine trying to test a car that's 8 months old or trying to test a bike that's 8 months old. You know, it's lost. Something new has already come in that's better. Or faster, or has a different spec level, or the price is cheaper. So, you know, then it just doesn't, you won't get the same amount of AVE out of it.
But wouldn't you agree there's still a market for, there should be two types of journalists, if I can. You have your new models, and then you have just general, like what you guys, the videos, the reviews and things you're doing. So it's knowledge on the...
Yeah, so from Auto Trader side, which is nice, because then the consumer can go into your website and you can still have a look and see.
There's an archive that go check this out.
I can purchase a second-hand RS or I can purchase a second-hand Type R. So this going to the archives and exactly, new, yeah.
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there really is two angles to it, I suppose, hey? Mm-hmm. Which actually makes it great.
Well, I mean, yes. I mean, Auto Trader caters for the, you know, for the new car buyer. Mm. So it's the new car buyer coming in and he's looking for a new vehicle. It's there. You know, here's this greatest latest review or on greatest latest vehicle, and here's this review on it. And then it also serves down the line, because I mean that gets, that remains on the internet there, and then when that vehicle eventually 2-3 years down the line enters into the secondhand market and it's being searched for again, that review comes up once again. So you know, it's we're constantly building that content to form this archive
of, which is fantastic,
you know, of knowledge, vehicle knowledge.
It's a click away.
And absolutely.
And now we need to start with the bikes.
Yes. Bikes, yes. Mm.
Which is important because it hasn't been done.
Yeah.
Would you agree? I mean, so officially, from my knowledge, unless there's something I've missed, I think BMW is now the only one doing it properly.
No, Honda still does bikes as well.
Oh, right. Yeah. With Heinen and them.
Yes.
Okay,
yes, so they run the bikes there on that side. I'm not sure how the other manufacturers, bike manufacturers run their fleets. But I know Heinen, out of experience, you know, they're very, very good, very professional as well.
Yes, they are. ADA.
Yeah.
Up until now, it's been dealers. When there's a launch, like when you went to the new ZX10, for example,
yeah, it's dealership.
It's a dealership doing it. They choose it, and that's it. You know,
it's very difficult for a dealership point of view, because you got to understand, dealer wants to sell bikes, he wants to sell cars.
Yeah.
You know,
trying to let people ride them for free.
Yeah.
I mean, well, there's always that risk involved, yeah.
And now comes in this thing that we were saying earlier. So they get to test this bike now, this demo.
Yeah.
Just on a learner's piece of paper.
No, it's crazy.
Now something happens and that demo's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, there's only so many demos that...
We had that with a Yamaha.
Correct. The
brand
R6.
New bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
and
they're not
less than 300-400 Ks on it, and some guy took it out for a test ride and brought it back with no gearbox.
Yeah, don't give him the bike again, hey?
But like you're saying, but accidents also happen.
Was it a Juno or a customer? Well, I'm not really sure.
Well, he obviously came back and said, oh, I don't think I'm going to take this one.
Well, yeah. Accidents happen, and accidents
bike.
I don't know what's wrong with this thing.
I just don't really think it fits me. You know?
That sounds very familiar. I've got press test cars back, and they say, didn't you deliver it with that dent in the door?
Oh, my word. Okay. Actually.
No.
What do you prefer? If a journalist now dents it accidentally, you do want to know.
Yeah, just tell me.
Just tell me.
Even if it happens, then I can already order a door.
Okay.
Because otherwise, my schedule, now I've got to go phone other publications and say, well, you know, the car's damaged, so now you got to wait.
Now you have to cancel everyone's program.
Or 2 week. Everything just gets moved along, which makes it very difficult, because those publications are also wanting to test the cars, because they also have people reading their publications and
so if you're a journalist
magazines.
Or a wannabe... Remember this.
Roughly how many journalists do you, how many publications do you guys service?
Sure. Yes. I mean, we try to focus on about 40, you know,
yeah.
The top 40 guys that we could possibly try and fit in, you know, depending on the amount of cars that I can get from the manufacturer. You know, they can give me five cars. That literally, those cars do not sit still.
Yeah.
They'll go out, come
that's
back,
still five
I'll have
months
a day.
Worth, you know, that's still 5 months worth of rotation if you've got those five cars.
Literally,
you know?
I'll have 3 months. If I got five cars, I'll have a little bit less than 3 months to get everybody through them, hey. So if
something goes wrong.
I mean, from an accident point of view, you know, accidents happen. We all understand. We all try and organize another car as quickly as possible. But from pure negligence.
Yeah, whole nother story. You know,
wine bottles keeping seats up and stuff.
That's
like
insane.
That.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you've seen a good couple
just
of
about
weird
everything.
And wonderful.
Yes. Hard hats, high heels.
Oh my word.
Shoes left in the vehicle after it's been returned.
Yes.
In and amongst other things.
Yeah, it wasn't the drivers.
The smiley face, the little
absolutely
goat
beautiful.
Teeth.
Yeah.
Nice. No, we've had everything. Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to shift gear here a little bit, and we're going to move on to our video review for the week, which happens to be the Mercedes-Benz C200 Coupe Auto. And we had that a little while ago, and I went into this vehicle, and the video is live on YouTube, and you can go and check it out, Auto Trader South Africa, and you're going to take a look at the video there and get my other opinions on it. But just to give you a brief rundown of the vehicle, I went into it not expecting too much. It's a C-Class. It's the compact saloon segment, compact sedan segment. And, well, yeah, I wasn't expecting too much because, well, the previous outgoing model, the C204, W204, whichever one you want to label it as, it left me a little bit cold. You know, there wasn't much to it. And I haven't been a particular fan of the W205, which is now the model that supersedes it. In sense of, well, I don't quite like the styling. The drive isn't bad, but a little Yeah, just, there's nothing special. There's no sense of occasion to it. And I like there to be a small sense of occasion when you're climbing into a car.
Character.
A little bit of character. Yeah, I do like
it
character.
Needs to
you
talk
know?
To you.
We spoke about it last week when we were talking about the Audi and saying, you know, it's a great car. It's a fantastic car. But it's just lacking that little bit of panache that just, you know, makes you connect.
Special.
It makes it special. Yeah. So I wasn't expecting too much with this one. And I'm happy to report that I was completely blown away.
Oh, wow.
I was so, so surprised. And I actually was almost loath to hand the keys back after the week with spending the week with the car, because I just really started connecting to it. It's not perfect. It's flawed in a couple of areas. Start straight off the bat. What you want to know? 570,000 rand. It's the C200 Coupe Auto, 572 and 38 rand. I don't know where the 38 rand comes in. They could have rounded that up or down.
It's the keyring.
It should be about 338 rand.
Yeah.
Because spec the way that we had it, 760,000 rand. Options! German cars and their options.
So, I mean, that's
absolutely
200 and...
Yeah, it's 190,000 rands worth of options on it. That's a small Ford Fiesta in options alone. Granted, it's got, you know, all the bells and whistles in
it. Is the options worth it?
Yes.
Okay. Like...
You know what the thing is, and I've always been against it and saying, you know, why do you make your options so expensive, X, Y, and Z? Why are there so many options? Give it to us sort of fully spec'd. And then I realized, well, not everybody wants it fully spec'd. Some people don't want a sunroof. Other people don't care about heated seats. Mm. Some of them don't want electric seats because, well, I'm the only person that's going to drive it. Why do I need a memory function? If my wife's going to drive it, then yes, maybe, but she never drives it. Or I'm single. I don't need a memory function in my seats. So I can save 30,000 rand there. So I can understand baseline models now.
Need a high-end audio system that costs 80,000 rand.
Something along the lines. But you can tailor the vehicle to suit your interests then. Mm. You don't need to slap on the full 190,000 rand. Pick and choose. Pick which ones are going to work for you.
Well, that's the bit that sold you, was the extras.
Not so much the extras. Some of the extras let the car down, and some of the extras worked well. Some of the downsides, let's get the negatives out of the way. The suspension, a little confused. We had it with the optional air suspension, and that wasn't that fantastic. It had its moments where it sort of shone nicely, but then there were other times where, no, you're just a little too soft to be a sporty coupe, and you're a little too hard and jarring to be a luxury cruiser. So it was a little in between. The gearbox was very much the same, but that's not one of the optional extras. The options list was extensive, and the command system is one of those. Mercedes-Benz's command system, I find it to be a little fiddly, and you really need to get to know it before it.
Works
nothing,
for you,
but nothing really comes naturally or intuitively. And that I felt, you know, there's other manufacturers out there that do it better. So it's probably one of those that I wouldn't necessarily spec when I go for that vehicle. But it does add a couple of other niceties to it. The Distronic system is fantastic. It's your radar-guided cruise control, and really, an absolute wonder, especially if you're driving on the highways and that, and I mentioned that in the video review, is that if you are tackling the highways or doing any sort of long-distance driving, you need Distronic on a vehicle or a system like that on a vehicle. It just makes the world of difference. It really does. I'm really, really like, let's get to the pros. I like the styling, where the sedan just has this sort of melted bum to it, and there's almost like,
oh, is this
formless.
The exterior now we're talking about?
Yeah, the exterior. Okay. The exterior styling is just bleh. It looks, I liken it to a Salvador Dali painting. It really did. It just had the surrealistic sort of approach to it. Whereas they haven't done this with the coupe. They actually took a couple of styling traits from the S-Class and S-Class coupe, and they threw it in there, and it makes a world of difference. Okay. It's now a good-looking car that's not costing you 1.5-3 million rand, something of the sorts. Very, very good trim in the interior. Fantastic luxury. The fit and finish of everything is a stunning, stunning level of a fantastic standard there. And it was pretty comfortable to drive, bar the air suspension issue, which left the vehicle a little bit confused. So that was the downside, but I could live with it. Granted, I had the small motor, so a 2-litre turbocharged motor, 135 kilowatts, 300 newton meters, and that's something that Mercedes-Benz does pretty well. They managed to get some really nice torque out of their small displacement motors, so very nice. The 7G-tronic automatic gearbox, like I say, a little lost for sporty coupe. It's not quick enough for a sporty coupe, but it's also not, you know, slushy enough for one of those real opulent
long
cruisers,
drive,
long drivers. It's not a bad gearbox. It's a good gearbox, but it should just err on one of the sides somewhere along the line. Performance-wise, going to do 0 to 107.3 seconds. So it's really not about engine displacement anymore. It's about your spec level, about the suspension and the way that it delivers it. So yeah, in short there, 570,000 Rand for the Mercedes-Benz C200 Coupe, the new coupe in an auto. That's with a 7G Tronic gearbox. Spec it up and put the air suspension, Distronic, panoramic sunroof and all the bells and whistles and that. Well, virtually all of them. And it's going to set you back about 760,000 Rand. But good space, nice comfort and a nice head turner. I really, really like this car.
So a head turner.
I liked it. Yeah, it really does. It turns heads. We actually had the chance to park it next to an S-Class Coupe. Granted, it was an AMG. And we sat there and we sat...
So close.
We spent about 10 minutes, 10,
pointing
15 minutes.
Pointing out the similarities.
That's the same. We were trying to spot the differences.
Oh.
And that was fantastic because... Now
I felt sorry for the guy that bought that S-Class because...
he paid quite a bit.
Yeah, here's the C-Class. C-Class comes in and it looks exactly the same. So, no, very, very nice car. I really did enjoy it. The video is up on Auto Trader's YouTube channel. And you'll be able to, if you really want to go and troll through our social media, of course you can join Auto Trader on Facebook and Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. But we're not on Tinder yet.
I don't want to be on Tinder. Tinder scares me.
as it should. All right, but go and check out the video there. Go and follow us on Twitter and the likes and get involved in the conversation. Use the hashtag AutoCentral and we can chat to you and we can flash around a little bit. But now we've switched a couple of seats here. So we've got Maureen in studio. Hello, hello. How are you doing?
Hi.
Welcome.
There's a voice to the name.
And so what do you think so far? You having fun?
Yes, I'm having a lot of fun. I've learnt a lot about cars, actually. And yeah.
And bikes.
And bikes, yes.
And bikes. Yeah, no.
Never put that aside.
I'm feeling the estrogen here. So, we only got a couple of minutes left, but I just want to shoot a couple of questions your way and just find out from you, from the student scholar point of view.
Okay.
Just, you know, what goes on in their heads and what's the way of thinking these days? Our first question here, as a student, what is your perspective? What, in your perspective, is the ultimate car to drive and why? I mean, what are guys seeing as... If money wasn't an object, what are the youngsters going for? You know, what are our pre-college, pre-university, high school leavers? What are they looking at? What have they got their sights set on?
Well, most. We're looking at smaller cars. So cars like a Ford Fiesta or an Audi A1.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at those type of cars because they're small and they don't need a lot of maintenance, I think. And fuel isn't too much. And yeah.
Okay, so it's the general perception that it's economical to maintain,
yes,
and that. Okay,
yes.
And that you feel you get from the smaller car, not the bigger cars.
No, and I think the bigger cars would make us look older, and we don't want that. Right?
You don't want to age before your time just yet.
Get rid of the Audi.
But you can park on the pavements for the bigger ones.
Oh yeah,
well. I'm just saying it's got its pros.
It's got its pros. Yeah. What would you say is the first car you would drive as a university student?
An Audi A1.
Really got sights set on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Have you been in it?
No, I've never been in it, but I've been in an Audi.
You see, it's a brand. It's an association thing. It's bum in a seat. It's She's associated with Audi. Put her in 3-4 other brands, you'll be confused. I'm telling you now.
Really? You believe there's that much out there, hey?
I'm telling you, they just have not been given opportunity to try this.
To experiment in that. Is that something that you'd like to experience more of, is getting the younger, you know, school leavers and university students and that sort of stuff into more driving experiences and let them experience more vehicles and let them know that it's, you know, it's actually accessible.
Yes, because then we learn more about the cars. And like you guys said, we wouldn't just go into a new car thinking, oh, we know it all. But learning and actually...
And doing courses.
Yes.
Do you feel that advanced driving and driving courses and that could be beneficial to the youngsters that are coming around and getting their license?
Yes.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, there's not much in the way of like driver's education at this point in time.
Because we learn the basics, but we don't actually learn like... If you have a specific car that you're looking at, when you're at a driving,
range.
They give you like a mini truck or something like that, but you're not really going to be on a mini truck when you're actually
out there.
And it's just miss this cone, turn that line, don't touch that one. That's about it.
Yeah.
There's no speed with it. There's no emergency braking, emergency swerving, none of those kind of things.
Okay. I want to stay with that one now quickly. Who's doing the majority of the teaching? You know, where are the youngsters learning to drive? Is it still being passed down from their parents?
Some of us, yes.
That is so bad.
It's the worst driver ever.
I'm just saying, it's like getting family to teach you. It's the worst thing. Would you agree?
I would consider parents as being the worst drivers because they don't drive badly, but it's their bad habits.
Yes, that they're putting onto the... Yes. Yeah.
And it's habits that develop. They don't even realize it's developing over time, you know, over 20. Mm. And I sit there and I often ask the question, if I had to go and do my driver's test now, would I still pass?
There's no way now. I wouldn't. I wouldn't be able to pass it. The push-pull steering...
It's just some technicalities now that wasn't there previously that the parents don't know. Yeah. So they wonder why they fail when they go for the test. I'm just saying. Not everyone, but the practical test is not easy to pass with a cars.
No, it's not. It's not, hey. Well, Maureen, I just want to ask one last question. Yeah, when it comes to choosing a car, is it all about looks and status and that? Or do you guys really think about, I know you've mentioned economy and cost to run, but do you factor in safety as well?
Yes. Personally, I would go for safety first because it looks all good and all, but then you don't want to like die with a good car.
Get some go.
Yeah.
Hey, don't shoot it down just yet. We're hoping to get, don't.
Well, you know, these days, I can say with bikes and cars, you guys were saying about the cars, but there isn't really any more bad cars and bikes, I feel, because they all are investing in safety.
And there are, I mean, there's legislature in place that, and like Lawrence was mentioning about the Datsun Go, when it was released without ABS and without airbags, but now you can buy a model that has your ABS and airbags.
Of course. Took them all back and
it had to be done, yeah.
Installed all the safety.
I couldn't actually believe it when I saw that, because I thought that's just, you're selling to a market we're supposed to look after.
Correct, yeah.
You know,
and you're encouraging the youngsters to get into it.
Yeah.
All right, but that is all the time, Maureen. Thank you very much for joining us. Blackie, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. See you at the next launch.
Yes. Or before for a driving course. Yeah, I think that could be good.
Yeah, let's go do it.
Yeah, we must. Yeah, we take our cameras with us. All right, Ty's off the microphone there, but thanks very much for joining us, Ty. Lawrence, thanks very much. Good to have you in studio again.
Yeah.
And of course, my co-host, Lawrence from Rensburg. Yes. All right, thanks, folks, a couple of big changes. Keep your eyes on the airwaves, and we'll let you know what's happening with this. Take care and drive safe.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.